the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, February the 5th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Amtrak says a freight operator is to blame for a fatal train crash in South Carolina. Also, on our nationwide rundown, Florida could issue gun permits with incomplete background checks, and a new law dealing with end-of-life decisions up for some tweaking. First, our top story, Amtrak is placing the blame on a freight rail operator for causing a crash on Sunday that killed two people and injured more than 100 others in South Carolina. Reuters reports the collision happened when an Amtrak passenger train was diverted onto a sidetrack and then slammed into a parked unmanned freight train. This was Amtrak's third fatal crash in as many months. Reuters quotes Amtrak's president as saying that the freight operator CSX was responsible for the tracks and the signals, including one that had a lock attached to it and diverted the Amtrak train onto the sidetrack. CSX did not address the comments by Amtrak, but did say it was working with federal investigators. Florida lawmakers considering a proposal now that would let people buy guns without having a completed background check. Tramell Gomes has the details.
Buried near the end of a 114-page bill by Senator Kelly Stargell, a Lakeland Republican, is a provision that would give the Department of Agriculture 90 days after receiving a concealed weapons application to issue a permit, even if the department has not acquired proof of restoration of the person's civil and firearm rights. Taylor Houston with the LGBTQ advocacy group Pride Fund to End Gun Violence calls the change absurd.
It's ironic that they would potentially not be allowing convicted felons who have served their time, you know, restricting their right to vote, but also at the same time giving access to the same convicted felons who carry loaded hidden weapons in public.
The provision in Senate Bill 740 was requested by Florida's Agriculture Commissioner and Republican candidate for governor, Adam Putnam. It's also receiving praise by pro-gun groups as it appears to be advancing to final passage.
A House version of the bill is awaiting a floor vote, where it is also expected to pass. Colorado, one of a number of states making significant gains now in ramping up solar and wind energy, but Eric Tegetthoff has been talking with clean power advocates who warn that momentum and job growth could slow with the Trump administration's plans to cut renewable energy programs.
In a draft budget obtained by the Washington Post, funding for the Department of Energy's renewable programs is cut by 72%. To Amelia Myers with the group Conservation Colorado, that would be taking the nation backwards.
And the future is renewable energy. We've got a ton of wind coming online. Any federal cuts to research and development are going to be very detrimental to our leadership as a state and as a nation.
An analysis by S&P Global projects new wind and solar capacity will top natural gas this year. And Myers notes Colorado's 600-megawatt Rush Creek Wind Farm in Elbert County is the largest wind project under construction in the U.S. The Trump administration has continued to make the case that deeper investments in coal would help the U.S. maintain energy dominance and create jobs.
And as Black History Month begins, Roz Brown reports there's some good news for African Americans in the workforce.
The unemployment rate for African American workers has decreased steadily since 2010, and the retail and restaurant industries can take some of the credit. The Path Forward Coalition is made up of retail and food service companies that recruit and mentor people of color for careers in these fields. Board member Broderick Johnson is an attorney who worked for two U.S. presidents, most recently Barack Obama. But his first job was in retail, and Johnson says it offered valuable lessons.
To do the job well that I was in, to be a very, very good retail clerk, to be responsible, to be responsive, to show up at work every day, to treat customers with respect, to be a team player. And those were skills that made me successful then, but have certainly carried on throughout my career.
For Black History Month, the Path Forward Coalition points out that restaurant and retail businesses are among the most diverse in the country, and that 15% of restaurant managers are people of color. Minority entrepreneurs also are starting more small food and retail businesses. Researchers say the nation's rate of new business creation would have declined over the past three decades if not for these efforts.
And finally, Veronica Carter reports legislation that would tweak a law that deals with the end of life is making its way through the Indiana State House.
In 2013, lawmakers approved the Physician Orders for Scope of Treatment form, also known as the POST.
It's different from a do not resuscitate form in that it deals with the type of medical treatment for people with serious and terminal conditions. A grassroots organization called the Indiana Patient Preferences Coalition has asked for clarifications. Susan Hickman is a member of that group and a professor in the Indiana University School of Nursing. She says the current law creates confusion and delays in medical care for many patients.
This just allows them to have those orders recorded on the post form so that this plan of care can accompany patients across settings and essentially supports the goal of the post, which is to help ensure continuity of care throughout the healthcare system.
Current law requires a doctor's signature for a post form to be legal. Under a bill by Representative Cindy Kirchhofer, an advanced practice nurse or physician assistant could also sign post forms in collaboration with the patient.
That post form is a legal document that is binding and enforceable during medical emergencies. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.